Book of Luke, chapter 1, and we're going to start from verse 1. Now, I'm not going to give you history or geography about this book, but in short, I'll tell you, the writer of this book is Luke, and he was a medical doctor. And somebody might say he followed Paul and he was still practicing the medicine. But I don't believe that, because if he wanted to practice the medicine, he doesn't have to follow Paul. He had so many patients, and he could stay and make millions of dollars without following Paul. But here we see the man is completely transformed. I have seen so many medical doctors in 21st century give up the medicine and following the Lord. One man in Gujarat, he was a medical doctor. He gave up the medicine. He closed his hospital and started serving the Lord. And I had a friendship with him, and he used to come to our conventions. Another man I heard in London, he was a neurosurgeon, and he gave up all this medical field, and today he's a pastor. So I can see how this Luke gave up his medicine practice and followed the Lord. It is not recorded in the Bible, but this is my belief. I believe that when he was treating the patients, when he got saved and learned about Jesus, maybe he prayed for people and people started getting healed. You might be thinking, why I need medicine? I can follow the Lord. We are learning now he is a medical doctor. Instead of writing any books on medicine, he is writing a story about Jesus. And so he is not writing to the ordinary person. One man, Theophilus, and this man is a very noble man. This man may be highly educated, or maybe a rich man, maybe in a politics, maybe a governor or a big officer, I don't know. But this man may be a patient of Luke. Otherwise, he would not have a friendship with the doctor Luke. And so Luke decided to write a book about Jesus Christ. Not only the book of Luke and history about Christ and Christ coming and everything, but he also wrote about Paul's journey and first century church. He dedicated to this man. So let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 1.
For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us.
Now what he's trying to say, he says, there are so many people. He's talking about the Christians, the believers, the followers of Christ. They were declaring, they were trying to tell other people what Jesus Christ has done with their writings, with their preachings. And many people will start writing about Jesus Christ and telling what Jesus Christ said, the message of Jesus Christ. So he said there are so many people are writing, and not only that, most of the Christians are believing what those people are writing. So he was impressed what the other people were doing for Christ. Who am I? I'm not even the called by Christ. I'm an ordinary man. I'm a doctor, but I don't know anything about this writing. But you know, the doctors, they always, if they want to treat the patient, they would know more about that disease, how that disease can be healed. They don't just give you anything if you go to the doctor's office. They will check and find out what's going on in your body. And so I believe that kind of nature doctor had. So this Luke decided, even the other people are writing, and many people are excited to learn about these things. We are already believing these things, but I'm going to write in details, and I want to take part in this. There are so many people, when they think about other famous people, they get discouraged. They think, I cannot do the things what other people are doing. I'm nobody. For example, if there is a Dr. Billy Graham, Warren Robert, T.L. Osborne, and many, many great preachers are there, then if somebody says, you should be preacher, he said, I cannot compete with those people. There are great men of God. I cannot do those things. When I was in India and I wanted to go to America, people start telling me, do you know there is a Billy Graham and Wal Robert and all those big, big ministers are there in America? What are you going to do in America? I said, sir, the word of God says one man's soul's value is more than the whole world. If I could go to America and win one soul for Christ, I would think I won the whole America. And so that's what the vision I had. And somebody says, why did you come here? Your ministry was great there and things like that. Why did I come here? Through America, I can go to the uttermost part of the world. I'm not that rich yet to go around the world, but my words went around the world. We started the radio program, and that program went around the world. Not a single place was remaining. Only one place was remaining, South America. But now, God willing, if I go back, I'm going to cover the South America also. But the point I'm bringing here, people try to discourage me. Don't go to America. Stay here. There are big, big preachers out there. You cannot do it. I was not an English preacher because God had given me many Indian languages. So each and every place I would preach in their own language. So it was easy for me. And so I was not discouraged. I came here by the grace of God and start serving the Lord. So I am believing Luke thought the same way. I'm not going to be discouraged because Peter writing and Paul writing and John writing and other people are writing. I'm going to write what I can. And then the verse 2. What he's trying to say, he wanted to write such a way that his friend could understand.
Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word.
Now he says, even those people, who is he talking about? John, the Peter, and other disciples, they talked to us, and they were eyewitnesses, and they were with him day and night, and they have given us the word of God, and they ministered to us. So in short, he's trying to say, even though those people were close to Jesus Christ, gave the word of God to us, and we are satisfied, but still, I want to do something. Verse 3.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus.
Now what he's trying to say, even though these people were writing, I thought it is good for me to having this perfect understanding of all things. So he said, I want you to know first, what is this all things about Christ and his birth and his resurrection and his second coming, and all of these people are excited and I'm born again. I'm not going to sit quietly doing my medicine practice. I want you to do the same thing and let the whole world know what God is all about. So he says, I thought I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do the thorough work. You cannot go and preach on the street if you are not born again. You cannot go and teach and stand in the church and give the Bible study week after week if you don't know the Bible. So the word of God says, first you have to learn. First you have to have the experience with Christ and the knowledge of God, then you can tell somebody. And so he decided to tell. And now he is not writing to ordinary person. Now, if you're writing to king, I'm just giving an example. If you write a letter to king or letter to governor, you have to know how to write. There are certain ways you write to king and governor and your friend or somebody else. And so Luke decided to write to him in very detail, so he could understand.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus.
Now what he says, I'm going to write in order. So he said, I'm not going to just tell you the story. I want to write it in very orderly. So he is writing from the beginning. And to who is writing? He says, most excellent Theophilus. And so he is so excited to write to this man. And see, he might be discouraged. Other people might have discouraged him. Why are you writing to this big man? There are so many other people, the Christ disciple, they want to hear. But there are very few people can witness to the kings and big people. Most of the time, this gospel is preached to the poor. So most of the people go to the poor people. But very few people can go to the kings and maharajas and big people. So God had chosen different kinds of people to reach different people. So he is reaching very noble, very wealthy men. Verse 4.
That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
Now he says you should know the things are really certain happen and things are happen. And he says somebody, maybe Luke or maybe somebody was telling him about Jesus Christ. And maybe he had some questions. Like other day one person said, I want to know more about Bible. Is the Bible is the true book? It really is the word of God. And so I sat and got all the materials ready and delivered to that man. The point I'm making, there are people are hungry for the word of God. So this person, somebody is giving him instructions about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, but he's not satisfied. He wants to know more. So he said, now you're already learning something about Christ and something about his coming. Let me write to you in detail so you would know much more what you're thinking about or what you have desired to know. Verse 5.
There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
So he's trying to say, I want to let you know, when the Jesus Christ was born, many people are saying Jesus was not born and there is no record, there is no date. Let me tell you, there was a King Herod. So now King Herod, nobody can deny there was no King Herod. So he says, and at that particular time, there was a man, and he says his name, Zechariah. He is coming in the priestly family, and his wife, Elizabeth, comes also in a priestly family, Aaron's family. So he is trying to say, let me tell you, the man, Zechariah, is not an ordinary man. He is coming from the Abijah's family, and Elizabeth coming from Aaron's family. So he's trying to say, in that kind of situation, the King Herod was there, and this Zechariah was the high priest at that particular time. Now in the beginning, Aaron was the only high priest, but now in the Aaron's children and children's children, so the people got so many high priests and so many priests. So now they had a problem, who is going to go to temple and do the service, so they had to put a lots. And anybody's lots comes and that person goes and does, so other people will not fight for the job. And so this time, the Zechariah was chosen by God to do the service. Verse 6.
And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless.
Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are both very godly people, living godly life and living, walking in all the commandments and all the ordinances of the Lord and blameless. It is very difficult to find that kind of people. Today the people are saying we cannot live a holy life. It is so difficult, and then they take an excuse. They say, no man is perfect. And we are all weak vessels. And we can do all kinds of wrong things. But the word of God says, if you are born again, child of God, you have the seed of the word of God. Jesus Christ lives in you. And he says, when you are born again, you cannot commit sin. That means somebody says, how come Christians do commit sin? I'm saying no Christian will practice sin and call himself a Christian. We are born again children of God, and God gives you a Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father. The Holy Spirit comes in us, and when you are a temple of the living God, you can live a holy life by the grace of God. If the people can live the holy life without Christ, then you don't have to come to Christ. But these people, they are ordinary people, but they are, according to the Old Testament law, they were blameless. That means they were doing everything possible to please God. Whatever the ordinances Moses said, whatever the commandments Moses said, they were doing it. And according to the Mosaic law, they were blameless. And somebody will say, this kind of people, pleasing God, glorifying God, not living unholy life, and every day doing good things, the man of God goes to the temple and worship the Lord. And why these people have problem? Let's read the verse 7.
And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years.
Now these people are godly people, good people, blameless people, but they had no child. Not only that, the Elizabeth was barren. Thank God she was not in 21st century. Otherwise, 21st century, if you don't have a child, they will do all kinds of devices, all kinds of things to make you pregnant. But she was just thinking about, if God set me here this way, I believe someday God will give me a child. And Zechariah also believed the same way, because they had the example. Abraham was a very old man, and he got a son. And Sarah was very old, and she got a son. So I think they believed someday God is going to give us a child. Now, how many days? He said they were well stricken in years. Means they were very, very old people. And people might be making fun of them. You go to temple all the time. You pray. And you are a priest's daughter. What's happening? Why God is not hearing your prayer? We have children, but you don't. Maybe you're doing some secret sin. Maybe you are not a good person, and people will make fun of you. But if you are a child of God, God knows everything what you're going through. Now, that's why this is a big miracle coming to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Both of them are praying, not one day, every day. Every day they pray, Lord, give us son. How do you know? You will know it. Let's read the following verse. Verse 8.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
Can you imagine? Here he is saying, now he is in the temple. All the people are praying outside. He's putting some incense, and all other people are praying with him. I don't know he told the people to pray for me, but the word of God says people were praying outside. And a book of Revelation chapter 8 verse 3, if you read, that says incense and the prayer mingle together, they go to God. And so our prayer goes up to God. Now these people are praying, Zechariah is praying, his wife is praying, and this is not a one-day prayer. They are praying all the time. And now the angel is coming, and angel is saying, Zechariah, when the angel comes, Zechariah was afraid. Maybe I did some mistake. Maybe angel here to kill me or something. He said, don't be afraid. Your prayer is answered. And so God answers prayer on the due time. Sometimes you want the answer instantly. But the God says, as soon as you pray, answer is on the way. When you pray, you believe it. What the word of God is saying in Mark chapter 11, please start reading from verse 22. When you pray, you believe it.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
When you come for prayer, or you tell somebody to pray for you, what you need? Of faith in God. Once you have faith in God, and you know you're praying to the real God, you're not praying to idols, you're not trusting in any man, if you don't have faith in God, and if you have faith in that man, you will be disappointed. You cannot have faith in a man. The word of God says, do not trust any man, do not trust any king, do not trust any princess. We trust in God. So here is saying, if you have faith in God, what happens? Please read verse 23.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Now the word of God says, you can move even the mountains. And some people say, it is difficult how this stone and everything will be moved. And I told you many a times, I saw this scripture and I said, Lord, there is a mountain in a Bombay city, in the middle of the town, means one place. And I wanted to go to other side of the mountain. Every time I go there, and I was a skinny man, and I was having a hard time. So I stood there and took this word and said, your word says, move this mountain, and the mountain will hear you, and it will be moved. I prayed and walked away. Next year when I came, the mountain was moved. There was a whole plain ground, and not only that, there's a pond of water. I said, what happened? The city took a contract to take all the stones and everything, and they gravel everything and planed the ground. And when I came, mountain was not there. So point I'm making, I don't know how it happened, but God heard my prayer. That's what I care. So here the word of God is saying, you, when you're praying, have faith. Not faith in a man, not faith in king, not faith in princes, faith in living God. Jesus Christ is the prayer answering God. Zechariah is praying. All other people are praying. His wife is praying. And when God answers your prayer, you should be thankful to God. See what happens. Let's read following. Go back to the book of Luke. Verse 14.
And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years.
Now see here, this child will be great. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. He will never drink wine or anything. And this man will be very great. He will be a great preacher. He will be winning the hearts of the children. He will be winning the hearts of the father. And many, many good things can happen to you. And he will be a prophet of God. And so many good things he told him. He will be just like a power of Elijah, and he will be doing great things like Elijah did. And all of these things, Zechariah heard it. But the Zechariah is not paying attention what angel is saying. He's paying attention on his own body. What's going to happen to me? I'm an old man. What happened? You forgot all about it. You forgot your prayer. You forgot what happened to Abraham. You forgot what happened to Sarah. When the problem comes, people forget the miracles. Just think, God did so many miracles for you. And now you got a cancer. And now what happens? All those miracles, you think, oh, that was not a big miracle. Now this is the greatest problem, and this problem will not go by prayer. This problem will go only surgery or good expert doctor. That's what the problem comes in your mind. Now this person is thinking about his weakness. He said, how can this happen? You are telling me, but I'm not the right person. This is what comes in your mind when you have problems. What's happening? When you have the problem, you concentrating your problem gets bigger, 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 and your guards get smaller, 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 and then your faith is getting smaller. What the Word of God says? Magnify the Lord. When you magnify the Lord, make your God bigger than any problem you have, then your problem goes so small. There is nothing impossible with God. That's what we have to learn. We are thinking about the situation all around us. We have to trust in God. If God said it, I believe it. Because Word of God is so powerful. When we trust in the Word of God, means what God says, you cannot go wrong. Now this angel is not ordinary person. This angel is standing before God. And God is the one who told him to go, especially to Zechariah. God could have given Zechariah a dream or a vision, but he knew that I have to send a right person to him. And so the angel comes and gives him a message. Verse 19.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings.
Now he's trying to say, Zechariah, do you know who I am? I am the angel Gabriel. I stand before the Lord. And this is the good news. I wanted to give it to you. But what he's trying to say, you did not hear my good news. You have the doubts. Now see, the greater punishment comes to the man of God. If somebody goes and robs the bank, ordinary person, they might say, oh, he was hungry, his family had problems, so they have excuse. But just think, the man of God, who is a pastor serving the Lord for 50 years and goes and robs the banks with a gun. The police will not say, oh, maybe his congregation were not giving tithes and offerings or something. No, he has a great responsibility. You're the one telling other people, don't do these things, and when you do it, you get a greater punishment. So this man supposed to have faith. And now he lost his faith. So he is going to get his punishment. Let's read further. Verse 20.
And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
See, this angel did not change his word. He didn't say, well, you don't want to believe, I'm going to go to somebody else. But he said, okay, whatever I said, it's going to be fulfilled. But until that time, you will be not able to say a word. Now, the man of God is supposed to preach, pray, tell somebody, encourage somebody. Now, everything stopped. Because of unbelief. God has called us with a definite high calling. Each and every believer, when you are born again, child of God, God puts his words in your mouth. take the Bible, start reading, and once you know John 3:16, you start telling others, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was lost, but now I'm saved. So I'm telling you, this word is true. So we have responsibility. Now this man is a man of God. Angel said, you're not going to say a word until this promise or until this is fulfilled. But it's going to fulfill. And so the point I'm making, when you are called by God, understand your calling. Don't say, I cannot do anything. I'm a child of God. If God can use the donkey, can he use us? Yes. If he used the donkey, Jesus Christ said, if you tell these people not to praise God and not to shout and not to glorify God, the stone will shout. So we are better than stone. We are better than donkey. You should say, Lord, use me. I want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Look at Luke. He's saying, give up the medicine. Give up the practicing medicine. And he wants to write about Jesus Christ. And so we should know what God has given to us. We should be thankful to God and use it. Otherwise, there is a saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. And that's what happened to him. Verse 21.
And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless.
Now see, when the high priest is serving the Lord, they have some kind of bells, musical bells tied to their robes. And when they're going, they have to keep on walking, keep on doing this musical sound should be coming outside. If the people don't hear the musical sound, then they would think the man is dead. And so they cannot go inside. They have to pull him with a rope because there was a rope tied to their gown. So here, Zechariah was not dead. He was walking around. They can hear the music, but they're thinking, why is it taking so long? So when he came out, could not say a word. So they understood, maybe he has seen the vision or something happened to him because he was speechless. Just think that angel would have given him message and he believed it and he took this much time and when he comes out and start preaching to people. See what happened to me? The angel appeared and start telling other story, but he was not able to tell anything what he saw or heard. Verse 23.
And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house.
Angel told him, your wife is going to bear a son. Now, he believed it because he became speechless, so he knew whatever angel said, it happened to me. So whatever angel said, it can happen to my wife too. The word of God says he remained there until his duty is finished. He did not hurry. Because everything happens on due time. Sometimes people hurry. You remember how Abraham hurried when God told him, I'm going to give you a son. And he goes and tells his wife, I'm going to have a son. But he did not say, God giving me son through you. Just say, I'm going to have a son. God talked to me. Okay, when I'm old, why don't you go with Hagar? And that's why the problem came. But here the word of God is saying, Zechariah did not rush. He finished his course. He stayed with the Lord. He finished his job. And then he's going home. And we have to be faithful to God. Verse 20.
And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men.
Now see, Elizabeth got pregnant, but she did not tell anybody 5 months. Somebody says, why 5 months? When you are pregnant, within the first month, you don't know you are pregnant. Now we have modern technology, we can tell. But the ladies will have the baby moving in their womb, then they are certain the baby is there. Some of the ladies, somebody say, okay, the period stops. There are no reason. There are some ladies will have period until the baby is born, and there are cases like that. So you cannot go from that. But when the baby start moving in your womb, you are 100% sure that you are pregnant. And so she waited 5 months. She didn't want to tell anybody because she had a lot of problem with the ladies, because everybody were saying, you are barren, you are cursed, and all of these things. But she did not say a day, you know what? My husband saw an angel, and now I'm going to be pregnant, and start telling everybody before she was pregnant. She was a little bit shy, waited for 5 months to get sure that whatever the Lord said is true. And 5 months later, she was able to tell others. Verse 26.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
Now can you imagine, here Gabriel came from heaven. He said to Zechariah, I came from heaven, I stand before God, and God has sent me. Now, Gabriel didn't know what's going to happen after 6 months. Some people are thinking, you know, the angels are God or something. And so some people worship angel. Angels are just the messenger. They cannot predict anything, or they cannot do anything. Whatever God says, that's the thing they will do. Just think that if the angel knew that Mary is going to be pregnant and God is going to send Jesus through Mary, he would have said, okay, when I'm on earth, why can't I tell the Mary the same thing? No, he didn't know anything about. When the Elizabeth already 6 months finished, that's the time God says, now go back to earth. And now you go to the Mary. She lives in Nazareth. That's in the city of Galilee. You go and tell that Mary, that's the Mary who is engaged with the Joseph, because there might be so many Marys. And so he sent it to the right person. Just like God knows your name, God knows your address, God knows everything about you. Sometimes people say, God doesn't know anything, what's happening to me. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. So God says to angel, go back. Angel didn't say, why have to go back again? Why didn't you tell me before? No, they cannot argue with God. They are the servants. When God says go, he said, okay. And angels comes to Mary. Verse 28.
And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
Mary didn't have any clue. God did not give her a dream, vision, or anything. All of a sudden, the angels comes in a room or living room or somewhere. And maybe just think that Mary was praying or something. An angel comes and gives her salutation. You are so highly favored. And then he says to her, you are so blessed. The Mary start thinking, I don't understand why in the world angel is coming and giving all this salutation. Verse 30.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.
Now see, here also, God knew the name of Mary, and he said to angel, go to Mary. And now he says, Mary, don't be afraid. You have found the favor with God. See, when God loves you, all good gifts comes from above. We have to know that you are in the God's mind. Each and every person is beloved of God. There is no small or big or rich or poor or ugly. We are all beautiful people in the eyes of God. And we are all favored by God because God loves each and every one of us. The Word of God says, before the world was began, before the foundation, you were in my heart. So God knows about everybody, and everyone has something to do. We are the vessels of God. We should be always ready. When God says do something, no question should be asked. Yes, sir. And that's what we should be doing. God sent angel in my office. And when I heard the word of God, he says, I have chosen you for my ministry. If you will not come, I'll give your place to somebody. I said, Lord, I need my job. And I ran and I decided to follow God. Many people tried to discourage me, but I said, no. I heard the voice of God. I saw an angel in my office. I don't need any more discouragement from anybody. And I said, Lord, here I am. Use me. Even the people start discouraging me. You said, you are too young and wait until you're 50. I said, the word of God says, serve your Lord or remember your Lord in your youth. So I gave my youth to the Lord. So the point I'm making, when God is trying to give you something and to make you useful vessel, you should be ready. Let's read verse 31.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
The angels start telling her, you're going to get pregnant, and you're going to bring forth a Jesus who is called Savior. And he start telling, she didn't say, stop, I don't want to hear. She wanted to hear everything what the angel is saying first. He says, he shall be great, he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and he will be taking the throne of David, means he will be king, and all these good things he is telling. Verse 33.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
Now here the angel told her everything. Then he is not only the king, but his kingdom will never end. He is the great king you never saw. And that's the kind of king coming in your womb. And that's the time Mary says, I have never seen the man. Now the people might be saying, why, she is blind or something? No, we are not talking about seeing the man. She was saying she never touched any man. She had no contact with a man, or she was not living a sinful life. So the Mary is saying, I never saw the man, means even though she is engaged with a man, she did not have any physical contact with a man. So how can this happen? Verse 35.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Now see here, so many people make mistake. They are thinking the Holy Spirit will come upon you and then this child will be child of the Holy Spirit. No. See what happens in the beginning. When the God was creating the heavens and earth, in Genesis chapter 1 you read, verse 1, the Spirit of God was hovering on earth. When you say Spirit of God, with that time, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all in one spirit. They were all in the spirit form, means they were all in a spirit. Now the similar situation happened. Just like the first time they were creating the first Adam. Now this time they are creating the second Adam. Jesus is called the second Adam. So the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, and Holy Spirit were hovering on Mary. And so he said, thus the Spirit of God will overshadow you. Just think that when the sun comes and something under the sun, what happened? You got a shadow. So the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, she was completely surrounded by the Spirit of God. And the Word of God says, now when you read further, when the Mary says, okay, I heard, now he's telling a little bit more story, and he tells the story about Elizabeth, and he tells her she's pregnant, all these things, and is there anything impossible with God? What she's saying, let it be according to thy word. St. John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As soon as Mary said, let it be according to thy word. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were hovering, Spirit of Christ enter into her womb. And so the Jesus Christ became the flesh and dwelt in her womb. And that's what Jesus Christ was born. So here, let's read verse 36.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
See, as soon as Mary said, let it be according to thy word, that was not the angel's word, that was the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is Jesus. Jesus is called the word of God. God speaks to us through Jesus. So as soon as she said, let it be according to thy word, that word was Jesus. So Jesus came into her womb and she became pregnant instantly. And she would not even knowing that she is pregnant. When she comes to know? When she goes to see her sister. But we are going to stop here and we are going to pick up this next week. The point I'm making, until the Mary says yes, angel could not go. Angel says, there is nothing impossible with God. Is there anything hard with the Lord or anything impossible with God? Our God can do anything. God made the first man. There was no mother. There was no father. He took a dust and made a man. So there is nothing impossible with God. So as soon as she realized, my sister Elizabeth, she is barren for this many years. If she is pregnant in this kind of situation, I believe it is possible God can make me pregnant. And she said, let it be according to your word. As soon as she says, according to your word, the word became flesh. We have to be available. If Mary would have said, no, not me. I don't want to go through all these things. If I get pregnant and my husband comes to know, he will kill me. Or other people come to know, they will kill me. I'm not ready for this. I don't need it. Go and find another Mary or go find another person. But see, when God wants to use you, what you should say, here I am. I'm available. Use me, Lord. And then God will give you grace to finish the job. We don't have to be afraid when God calls you. When I wanted to come to America, people start saying, why are you going to America? You don't know the language. And I said, if God has called me, I didn't want to come to America. God told me, I was praying and I said, Lord, I applied for Pakistan and I cannot go to Pakistan. And your word says we should go to uttermost part of the world and preach. And if I cannot go to Pakistan, how can I go to uttermost part of the world? God said to me, I will take you to America. When God said it, I believed it. It's a long story. I'm not giving my testimony. But what I'm trying to say, I was available. I believed in my heart. If angel came and told me, that Jesus Christ is calling me, and now I'm praying, and God says, I'm going to take you to America, I have no doubt. And God did it. So the point I'm making, sometimes it feels like an impossible thing. But the Word of God says there is nothing impossible with God. So you have to say, Lord Jesus, my job situation looks like a mountain. My financial situation looks like a mountain. How I'm going to do it? Point I'm making, If God is calling you, God is blessing you, just say, Lord, here I am. Use me, and God will do the rest. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. We have a lesson to learn. The Luke, who was a medical doctor, he gave up his job and he followed you. And he wrote a beautiful book so we can understand the Word of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Even though they were so old, they did not give up praying for the blessing of child. Thank you for Mary. She believed there is nothing impossible with God. And so, Lord Jesus, give us grace. We see so many impossible things in front of our eyes, but we are not looking at those things. Because your word says, we are not walking and looking by what we see in our sight, but we are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Our journey is not looking at things. We are looking at Jesus Christ. And he has given us the sound faith. We are going to win souls for Christ, and we are going to live for Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has promised his coming soon. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to be busy winning souls for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.